Matthew 26:6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. I want to speak to you about made for a moment. God bless you. Please be seated. We'll be praying in just a little while. But last Wednesday, as I was finishing or working on the message for last Wednesday, I felt directed of the Lord to talk about this story tonight. It's connected to Easter. I can connect the dots. But beyond that, I just feel impressed of the Lord to speak on this story. Each of us were created by God for a lifetime of fellowship with him and service in his kingdom. But at the same time, while we're created to be a daily disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm struck by people in the Bible who, while serving the Lord for a lifetime, seem to have been made for a moment of time when they served a pivotal role in history. And I use the word moment loosely, not like a minute or a second, but a significant season or period of time. I wrote one time that the value of a moment is almost beyond words, almost impossible to describe. Moments are big enough to change history, and moments are small enough to ignore. This lies the mystery of a moment. They're not independent or disconnected realities, but moments carry the momentum of the past and the fuel, the momentum of the future. The present moment is where all the work of the past and all the hope of the future collide, and each moment making it full a potential. Our lives are the sum total of what you do in the moments that God gives you. I believe that we were all made for a moment to make a difference for eternity. I was thinking about the Bible characters who appeared on the scene of biblical history for just a moment. There was Naaman's servant girl who told Naaman about a prophet of God in Israel. There was Esther who came to the kingdom for such a time as this. There was Simeon who walked in at just the right moment to dedicate baby Jesus to the Lord. There was Anna who walked in right after that to celebrate the arrival of the Messiah. There was a lad who donated his lunch just in time. There was Simon of Cyrene who carried the cross of Jesus Christ. There was Joseph of Arimathea who begged the body of Jesus and placed it in his newly hewn tomb. And then there is Mary of Bethany. What do we know about her? I spoke about her last Wednesday on choosing what is better. She's the sister of Martha and Lazarus. They lived in Bethany, which was about 2 miles away from Jerusalem, situated on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. I mentioned last week that we have 3 glimpses of Mary of Bethany. The story I taught last week, at the time when Lazarus, her brother, died and Jesus raised him from the dead. And then we have this story, the 3rd glimpse of Mary. This story is found in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John chapter 12. It is not recorded in Luke. Luke records the story of another woman, a sinner, anointing the feet of Jesus Christ. In our text, Matthew 26:6, the Bible said that Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. John 12 and 2, I will not display all these verses, but John tells us they made a supper. And Martha, shockingly, served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table again. Here we go again. Martha is serving and Mary is not. But this time, Martha has nothing to say about her little sister. Verse 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, John chapter 12, verse 3 tells us who this woman was. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mark tells us that Mary broke the seal on that flask of alabaster oil and that this fragrance filled the room. John tells us that not only did she anoint his head, but she, like that sinner woman, anointed his feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And there the house was filled with the fragrance of that ointment. Now, in those days, it was pretty common to anoint the feet of a rabbi and a special guest at a house. Jesus had had his feet anointed by that sinner woman. I told you about that, Luke chapter 7. She came as a sinner. Jesus forgave her. This ointment is extremely expensive. It would have been worth about 1 year's wages. It was about 12 ounces of perfume. It was kept in alabaster, which really preserved that fragrance, and with the wax seal. So Mary has this flask. I'm so sorry. Now, in those days when you ate, we would recline on couches and you would sit around a table. So all these men are at the table, and Mary comes behind Jesus, opens the flask, pours the oil on his head, proceeds to go to his feet, pours the ointment on his feet, and then she dries his feet with the hair of her head. Now, this is an amazing thing, right? A precious demonstration of worship. But the disciples are not so thrilled about this. Verse 8 tells us when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. And someone said, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Now, who actually said this? Mark says that they were indignant. Matthew says it was the disciples who were indignant. But John spills the beans on Judas. John tells us in John 12 and 4, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." So it is Judas. I think all the disciples, if you compare Matthew, Mark, and John, interesting that this story is not in the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke, but Luke does not describe this story, Matthew, Mark, John, but John rats him out. John said it was Judas. And Judas is acting like a benevolent man. We love the poor. We want to take care of the poor. But the Bible said he's a thief. He's a stealing out of the Lord's work. He's stealing from Jesus. And he calls it a waste. Mary's worship called waste. Unbelievable. It's condemnation of Mary demeans her. Who are you to come in here like this and waste this perfume? He's also maybe saying that it's demeaning of Jesus, that he's not worth worship of that extravagance. I was studying this and I read an amazing commentary that the world has never had a problem with religion in moderation. A little bit of religion. A little bit of worship, a little bit of toned down prayer. But the world has no problem with too much wealth or too much sexuality or too much influence. It just has a problem with too much religion. That's Mary's problem. She loves Jesus way too much. And Jesus defends her, Matthew 26:10. When Jesus understood it, he saw this going on. He said unto them, "Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work on me." Now you imagine being a woman in a room full of men. Martha is there. Maybe others are serving. And here's Judas. She looks up to him as a disciple. Must be trusted. He's the treasurer. And he says something that is so humiliating to her. Shames her in front of all of these people. And I cannot imagine how hurt she was by those words. I was thinking about this today, that on Easter Sunday, I plan to preach to help people who have been disillusioned and hurt by religion and leaders and other Christians, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Now, previously, when Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, she's humiliated by her sister. Lord, tell her to come help me. If you weren't here last Wednesday, go back and listen if you want to. But if you were here last Wednesday, you have the whole story. Belittled by Martha for sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now here she is again, going beyond the call of any duty, pouring out worship on the Lord, giving this expensive perfume. Common people cannot afford it. A year's wages. Now humiliated again. But Jesus defends her. And then he says this in Matthew 26:11. For you have the poor always with you, but you don't always have me with you. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Mark adds this insight, Mark 14:7. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. In other words, tomorrow, next week, the week after, you should do good for the poor. But Mary understands the power of a moment. This is not just any time. It's a moment in time that Mary has come. Amen. I've learned that some things in life can be done at any time. Some things in life can only be done in a moment. And if you miss it, you might miss it forever. The apology you needed to make, the olive branch of reconciliation you needed to extend. How many people live a lifetime of regret because they waited too late? And they missed a moment, an opportunity. What Mary did was worship. But when Mary did it, made it a memorial. Jesus said, she's anointed me to my burial. Now, how strategic is this timing? John tells us in John 12:1, in the beginning of this story, that Jesus came to Bethany 6 days before the Passover. But Mark adds this insight in Mark 14:1, that it was 2 days before Passover. So this story takes place 2 days before Jesus will be put to death. How significant was this moment for Mary that she would never have a chance to do this again? Jesus says, let her alone. Don't criticize her worship. Don't criticize what she has done. Mark 14:8. She hath done what she could. Not what she wanted to do probably, but she's done everything she could do. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for burying. You know, if Mary could have changed the circumstances and prevented Jesus from dying, I'm sure she would. There are a lot of things I'd like to change in life, but I can't change them. I just need to do what I can. Amen? And all of us need to do what we can do. And Mary did exactly that. And she did it in this moment of time. Mary's an amazing character. Earlier, she chose what was better when she sat at his feet. Now, she's done what she could, anointing Jesus for his burial. And then Jesus caps it off in Matthew 26:13, the significance of this moment. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Mark also says this, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world. So this is what is an incredible thing, that Mary's moment becomes a memorial. Mary, for all the good that she had done, for all the devotion she had ever demonstrated toward Jesus Christ, I believe that Mary was made for this moment. And what she did in that moment would never be forgotten. Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, that's what Jesus said, from then till now, and from there to here. I can't find a place where Jesus explicitly said, wherever you preach, make sure you tell this story. He just knew this was a story that had to be told. And tonight, I fulfill the prophecy of Jesus and tell Mary's story, April 16th, 2025, that what Mary did that day in that moment was so significant that it has been preached all over the world in every generation. And I tell you, and I speak to myself, that I don't ever want to miss the moments that God gives me in time that affect eternity. We cannot miss a moment. Each of us are called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Follow him daily. Most often, all of us serve in the shadows, in relative obscurity, like those characters I named quickly from the Bible. Most of us don't serve on the main stage, under the stars, under the spotlight. Even those of us who may be on a platform more often than others, most of our work is done behind the scenes, even the most public of church leaders and volunteers. And by the way, sometimes those stages are scary and dangerous places. But like Mary, we need to value moments that God gives us that are not just remembered, but are memorials that shape time and eternity. Jesus commended Mary for what she did, but he also commended her for when she did it. She's anointed me for my burial. This cannot be done at another time. So tonight, I just felt compelled to tell you this story and encourage you to ask God to help you not miss the moments you're given in life. If you're able, please stand. We're going to the Lord in prayer. There'll be prayer music. There'll be some prayer focus slides for us to pray for Easter and for people. When you see those needs, please pray for them. As you know, there are lots of prayer request cards. You can complete them. I do ask you to circulate if you're able. Pray for a number of needs. Lay that card down anywhere. And when you leave tonight, please take some cards with you. Don't write anything confidential on a card, and don't share what's written on a card on social media. This is our family praying for our needs. And I've observed that we are people who pray for lots of folks. And I see these cards. There's so many people in our worlds that we are praying for. I'll wrap this up at the very end, but let's now move into a time of prayer. But right now, before we engage in that and the music starts, let's lift our hands to the Lord and ask the Lord, help us be like Mary, to not miss the moment that God has given us. We were made for a moment. Can we worship the Lord and surrender ourselves to him right now?